Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dietitians Uncorked. We are so excited you're here. We have a pretty, I bet it's going to be a very humorous episode. I'm just going to put that prediction out there. We are going to be discussing changing bodies as we age. So before, as tradition, before we get into that, Kat, what are you drinking today?
I am drinking a rosé, actually. I know I've said I'm like a red wine kind of girl, but this was a wine. So I sometimes I'll buy like a box of a variety of wine from a vineyard or like a collaboration or something. So this was one of those. So it was called Rosé. Very original. It's a Rosé Syrah, and it's from Valle Colchagua, which is a similar wine that I've actually mentioned, like a wine that came from the same region before. And it's a limited edition, so there's only a few available from the year 2020. So, exciting.
And you like it?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of rosés, typically. More in the reds. Well, I do have a red today, and Kat, I have to apologize to you because it's from Argentina again.
No hate.
I just love Malbecs.
You know what? I have nothing but respect for Argentinian people and wine, so it's just this is a made-up controversy, but I just feel like, you know, I'm your favorite Chilean and you haven't even shown Chilean wine, you know, picks.
I'm going to put it on my grocery list next time I go to Binny's. Find a Chilean wine because I cannot come back with another Argentinian one. But that being said, it is really good. So this is called Pascual Toso and it is from Argentina, as I said. It's like a pretty, like a bright orange label.
Look at that.
Very classy. It's really good. I've had it open, just kind of like airing it out a little bit. It's very like bold and dry, which is, you know, our go-tos for reds. And I taste more like, a lot of times I feel like it's very berry forward. A lot of reds I've had recently maybe are just more berry forward, but I can actually taste more like vanilla, coffee-ish, like those types of flavors. I know. I'm very into it today. It's like rainy, just very cozy, you know?
Perfect. It's a perfect red. I went to a coffee tasting. Did I tell you this?
I don't think so. This one's fun.
So I went to a coffee tasting and it was so fun because the process of tasting coffee is very similar to the process of tasting wine, where I guess in the coffee world, you can sort of smell the dry coffee and get some notes and then see if they sort of pass through on the actual liquid once it's been extracted. It was really fun to smell really strong notes of vanilla in coffee and then actually being able to taste it and feel like wines are, they go through a similar process where you might be able to like smell something and it doesn't come through as much or it does come through and it's exciting.
Wow. I want to do that. I've been to many a wine tasting, but not a coffee tasting. That's fun.
It was so fun. It was so fun. Highly, highly recommend doing something like that.
Awesome. So let's get into it. So we are talking about changing bodies as we age. And I think one thing we want to start with is just, you know, to normalize it. There are a lot of pressures, particularly on women, especially women who may have had children. There is so much pressure and so much messaging that your body should stay the same as you age and that you should do everything you can to make it stay the same, which is so fucked up.
very, very fucked up, especially because this isn't an expectation that we see across genders, you know, like for males, you don't see the same expectation. And in fact, their transition through life is celebrated. And women go through bigger transitions, I feel like, compared to men, especially if they do decide to have children. And the expectation is get back to your smallest version of your body in the one before you show any signs of aging. And it's like, what the fuck?
Right.
We're human too.
Yeah. What you said about the differences in the expectations for men and women, like when men start getting salt and pepper in their hair, it's like sexy, right? It's celebrated.
Oh, yeah.
And God forbid a woman's hair color start to gray. Like, you better get your ass to the salon and start highlighting it and shit. Like, the dichotomy, it's just insane.
It's, yeah. So, and I think the reason why this connects to nutrition so much is because the expectation of sort of for women's bodies to remain the same, there are so many nutrition sort of tips or hacks or lies, to be honest, where it's like, you can keep your same, you know, elasticity in your skin if you're taking whatever supplement, or if you're eating more fruits and vegetables, you might not get as many wrinkles, or if you're using, and it's like, we're all about having a balanced, wonderful, colorful diet that might be science-based, but it's used as sort of a marketing strategy for women to feel bad about their changing bodies, the fact that we are aging, and how to prevent it. And it is not the same for men, which boggles the mind.
Right. I was at an event recently, and I'm not going to name the brand, but there was a station for a manufacturer who sells like collagen products, you know, the little powder shit that you can put in drinks and stuff. And I was I was talking to this guy, and obviously he didn't know I was a dietitian or anything. He had no idea who I was. And so I walk up there, and he's just talking to me about how collagen is so amazing and it can do so many amazing things. And so I was asking him like how it works, and his response, I was wearing a mask, which was really fortunate because I didn't have to like check my facial expression or anything. But he was like, yeah, you put it in your drink, and then, you know, we can't tell you exactly where it's going to go in your body, but it's going to go somewhere, and then it's going to just like erase the wrinkles. And I wanted to be like, did you go through any training? Like, the way you sold that was so horrible. And he talked a lot about, I felt very like, I was like a young, you know, woman coming to him. Like, he probably was like, sweet, like ideal market. Right. But the way he discussed it, I was just like, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh God. You should have been like, I'm very concerned about the wrinkles in my elbow. They've been there since age 5, and no matter what I eat, they're still there. So I hope
can you direct that collagen travels straight to my elbow?
I'd love that, please. If you could have like a redirection of collagen. God, it's just also, you know, we can criticize the fact that this pressure exists, but like, it exists, and it exists unfairly for men and women. But as I age, which I'm, you know, no longer my 20s, there is a little bit of that pressure that creeps up whenever I see a wrinkle that I didn't have before, or a white hair that I actually found last night. And I was like, what the fuck? I am not old enough to have that. But you know, some people have early signs of aging, and I want to be the kind of person that embraces it like wholeheartedly. And it's like, yeah, I earned my stripes, but I can see how sneaky this message has sort of been targeting you know, maybe what I consume in the media or however I'm reading or images. But when I see a first sign of aging, my gut reaction is, oh God, is it noticeable? Do people see it? And I hate that because that's not how I actually feel, but it is what I've internalized.
Mm-hmm. It's like your initial reaction. It might not be how you feel, you know, after you sit with it, but that's like your gut response, which I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way. Like there's anxiety around what is the future going to look like for me in terms of what is my body going to look like? You know, how is my face going to look? How is everything going to look? And so I feel like all these products like, you know, collagen and media articles that talk about like eating certain foods to try to preserve your youth and all that bullshit, like they just have an automatic in because they're preying on a place of just natural, like human vulnerability.
Yeah, totally. I think too, there's a tone of misogyny here that really gets at what men consider attractive. And it can get creepy real fast because we're trying to look like 16-year-olds perpetually. And, you know, that is not normal. We're not vampires. We age. So I think that it is possible for women to look at men if you're straight and you're looking at appreciating their evolution and be like, that's attractive, right? Like this man that no longer looks like he's 16, he looks like he's 45 and it's attractive. I find it interesting that the same thing isn't,
right,
you know, directed towards women. Right. And the expectation for us to do something about it rather than for men to feel like that shouldn't be your expectation. That shouldn't be your perspective. And you should really think about why it is that you're bothered by the fact that I have gray hair and, you know, more wrinkles.
Right.
Saggy boobs.
and
hashtag rethink high.
And like weight fluctuations as well.
Right.
You know, there's...
Right.
There's a lot of anxiety when you grow up, you're at a certain weight for a period of time, and then maybe you have kids, maybe you don't have kids, but your body changes in shape, it changes in the number on the scale. And that can be a really weird place to be for some people because it's uncharted territory is what it comes down to. Like they've never been in that shape or weight before, and so it comes with a whole set of experiences that are brand new and really uncharted territory.
Totally. Yeah. I think weight fluctuation is one of the most normal things that can happen to a human being. And if we're talking about women, your body is changing, you know, well, all human beings, we are growing from day one and nobody criticizes that weight gain. And then once we reach our adult bodies, if you happen to have children, you have weight fluctuations. There's absolutely nothing abnormal or negative about that process. And so the fact that you might have had a baby or twins or whatever in that period of time has changed your body, there should be that same expectation of like, well, your body is different and that's absolutely normal, you know? And then as your body fluctuates back to a non-pregnant state, if you are having a change in decade where you're storing fat or muscle in different places than you were when you were 20, that shit should be as normal as, you know, getting boobs when you're a teenager, you know, it shouldn't be a thing that everyone is worried about and we're all trying to get back to our 21-year-old self body, you know, it's just.
Yeah. Or something you're surprised by, like your body's been changing your whole life. Why would it just suddenly stop? But the messaging that we receive is that that's that's what you strive for. You strive to stop aging. And so you're like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Right, right. To me, as somebody who people come to like discuss nutrition and maybe they're unhappy with the body that they have, what makes this conversation so wild is sort of this shame that exists for this changing body. Like there is no room for, I'm going to have a little bit of compassion, understanding that maybe like my expectations are not normal, you know, or like are, I'm internalizing some sort of standard that I need to follow, but it isn't human. And so I shouldn't have these standards in the first place. We have to have these conversations, sort of go back to the root of why is it that you're so unhappy with this body at your 60s or 50s, and you're comparing it to when you were 30 or 20. And we all age, we're all in this ever-changing process of continual evolution. Why is it that the expectation is so strict to measure up to one a different time of life?
And related to that, something I've talked about with clients before is, okay, you're, say you're in your 60s, your 50s, you're thinking about your body back when you were in your 30s or your 20s and wishing that you were in that body. But if you think back to how you felt when you were in that body, so when you were in your 20s or your 30s, were you really, like, how did you feel? Were you 100% satisfied, or did you still have the same level of insecurity? Did you have slightly lower level of insecurity? Like, what did that look like for you? Because so often I think we romanticize almost, or like idealize our younger self. But if you actually think back to your younger self, you might find that, you know, you still weren't quite fully secure in how your body looked.
Totally. Totally. I think when we think about how we feel after we eat certain foods, like there are a bunch of memes when you are in your 30s or in your late 20s versus your early 20s, or, you know, whatever decade you might be experiencing some changes in your body, you know, menopause or all that. But there are times where when you were younger, you had, I don't know, a lot of pizza. And then later you felt just fine. Life was normal. You just had pizza. And now you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have heartburn. I'm probably going to have diarrhea later. Or like, I feel really bloated. It's all the pizza. Where's my lactate? You know, these things change. And I think it's a good sign of sort of going through life that things affect your body differently now than they did before. And I think the whole point of this episode is to talk about that and to almost take away this sort of sensation or this notion that nutrition is part of this massive solution to keep you ageless, because that's not what nutrition is there for. Nutrition is here to nourish your body and give you all the tools and all the minerals and vitamins and nutrients that you need as you age, but not to prevent you from aging, because that's not a thing.
Right. Something we haven't touched on, but that plays a huge role in this discussion is the skincare industry. Like all of the products, especially that are marketed towards women to, you know, erase your wrinkles and make your skin nice and plump and dewy and all that shit. Like they're preying on that, again, that place of vulnerability that women find themselves in as they age and as they're seeing, you know, small fine lines and wrinkles pop up. And so something to pay attention to is if you feel like you're being pulled into that cycle, like you're, you know, maybe seeing advertisements or on social media, you're seeing these products all the time. And if it's leading you kind of in this spiral of thoughts about, you know, your body aging, thoughts that maybe you don't like it, maybe you want to erase that, like that's going to affect your emotions and your decisions, kind of how you feel about yourself, your quality of life. So it's kind of one giant spiral. And if you feel like you're constantly being pulled into that, you know, that's something to pay attention to and kind of see, is there a way I can maybe step back from that messaging so that I can start to more tune inward and like find peace with the changes that are going on instead of just constantly responding to like the outside messaging.
Yeah, totally. I do maybe want to clarify, like, it is okay to like want to take care of your skin, want to take care of your hydration. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're both on the same page where we're like, oh, I found, you know, I have this skincare routine that I love, or I'm trying this new product and I feel better. All those things are wonderful. You know, treat your body like you want to, mm-hmm. and take care of it as if it's a friend. That's a wonderful thing. The problem is when we combine the pressure of society for women to look a specific way and the pseudoscience that occurs to that benefits from that insecurity created by society. And that is when I'm just like, fuck no. Like, can we, mm-hmm. I think women just have a lot already on their plate, a lot going on to worry about. We don't need more to like think about and have to carry with us. So, right. And I know we're focusing a lot on women here, but I think this speaks to women in a different way than it does to men. So I'm not trying to ignore men. I'm just saying that women get the brunt of the criticism of our changing bodies compared to men. So that's it.
Yes, that's a really good point because those two things are not mutually exclusive. So you can simultaneously want to care for your body and eat well and move your body, find a skincare routine that works for you. You can do that, but still appreciate, you know, the aging process and try, you know, to move away from criticizing your body and more so just embrace, you know, the changes while taking care of yourself, you know, the best that you're able to.
Right. Right. I think, you know, having that understanding that taking collagen as a way to like help feel better is also 100% valid. I think the problem is when, you know, that insecurity leads to this predatory supplement nutrition mm-hmm. plan marketing strategy that can be very persuasive and attractive right. to a lot of people. And that's when I just, I get very frustrated because again, nutrition is science. It's a new science, relatively speaking to other ones, but like nutrition is science. And so I hate that our culture makes nutrition be this like, sort of like all these pseudo ideas of what nutrition can do for you. It hides mm-hmm. under science, but it really is just straight up bullshit.
Right. And, you know, at the same time, even if something doesn't have the greatest scientific backing behind it, but like collagen, for example, you know, there's some research, but it's certainly not, you know, a huge solid evidence base at all at this point. But if collagen or whatever it is does, you know, make you feel good, and if you as an individual notice benefits, if you notice, you know, feeling better, then that's great. You know, we're here to celebrate that because that's part of your journey for taking care of your body. So at the end of the day, if you feel good, you know, with that, then that's what matters. It doesn't matter what other people, you know, think about it.
Absolutely. I think too, you know, we talk about this a lot. It's like, we've got a sample size of one N equals one, right? From a consumer standpoint, from a perspective of your own journey with food or with skincare, whatever it might be, if you have a positive experience or reaction, or you feel that symptoms are improving because of something, it's a sample size of one, and you're the only person that is trying this and the only person that matters. And so mm-hmm. like, that's wonderful. I think the problem is when I'm selling you something and I have an N equals one, I have a sample size of one. I did this and it worked for me. And so it's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. That's never going to work, right? That's just my personal experience. And I can't sell that shit to somebody else and be like, we're going to have the exact same results. So from a consumer standpoint, absolutely. From a selling standpoint, that does not fly.
Right.
So, Kelly, is there anything that you've noticed that relates to nutrition that you feel like you can see or notice a significant change as you age? Like before you didn't think about it. And now as you're older, you're like, yeah, this is different for me. It's a different experience.
Yeah. I think something probably many people can relate to if you drink is the change in how you feel. Like when you were younger, when I was younger, I could definitely have a few drinks and feel
like drink fine. Alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. And feel totally fine. Like I didn't even drink the night before. But now that I'm older, it's very different. So like I can tell I don't really drink during the week at this point because I feel like it affects my sleep so much. And when I was younger, I never felt that way. But if I even have just a glass of wine, like on our podcast recording days, and then I have nothing else the rest of the night, but I still can feel it. Like I don't sleep as well. And I might feel just like a little bit, foggy in the morning, which is a whole new world because when I was younger, that was just like not even an issue. And I know I'm not, many people I'm sure can relate to that. Like, do you feel that way?
100%. 100%. I think I plan my drinking now, which is like, I wish I wasn't. Like, I'm not that old, but if I go out, to a restaurant or something like that, or I get a really nice bottle of wine where I am inclined to have, one, two, maybe three glasses of wine, I think about my hydration status, like how hydrated I am before I start drinking. And then as I'm drinking, it's just like present. Like, am I drinking enough water? And it's not like a thing where I'm like, oh, am I going to drive? Like I'm not being irresponsible, but I'm acutely aware of how I will likely feel afterwards, which I did not think about before. Massively different.
Feel that. We went to a lake house over the summer and before we went, so there's some drinking during the day involved. You're out on a boat, it's sunny, all that stuff. And before we left, I had 5 bottles of water, like 5 16-ounce bottles of water, because I was so scared that I was going to be like have the slightest of hangover the next day. And after COVID, I haven't gone out as much as we used to. I haven't been hungover, in a really long time. And I was so scared. So I was like, I'm just going to chug a shit ton of water. And everyone thought it was like the funniest thing, but I was the only one who felt great the next day.
I actually have been told at a party, somebody told me, oh, like you just know the tips and tricks so that you're not like wasted like everyone else. And almost like that was like a diss, like, oh, you just know all the, I'm like, seriously, it's not about tips and tricks. I'm just drinking water, you guys. Every other thing that I'm drinking water. But I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. For me, I think of caffeine and how it affects me differently. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you did this in college, but I did this all the time where I had coffee at all times throughout the day. Also because I was super broke and it was like a way to like keep energy. Not the best system for nutrition, but I needed to be awake, needed to be alert. And I was studying at all times and, had to sometimes stay up late at night so I could study or finish a project or whatnot. And I would just drink coffee at all times. And now I have a second cup past 4 p.m. and it's a whole thing. It is a whole situation that I have to think about. And it used to not affect me as much, but now I can feel the caffeine affecting my body. I feel like I'm more aware of how many times I'm going to the bathroom to pee. I mean, it's just, I feel like I'm talking like I'm 85. Sometimes I do feel like I'm 85, but I'm not. And it's just, you know, I'm a little bit more aware of how things hit my body versus when I was in my teens and 20s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, as we age and more examples like that come up, it's just, you know, something to take in stride and know that you're not alone. Every human goes through things like that. And there's a lot of humor, you know, to be found in those situations, just to lighten it up a little bit. So we do want to end with a few action strategies, or more kind of like a game plan for when those thoughts come up, specifically when it's really kind of messing with your mind, when you're thinking about your changing body and it's starting to negatively affect, you know, how you feel about yourself or just kind of your emotional state.
Yeah. I think so. For the probably the easiest thing to start with is notice how you think about your aging body. Do you have unrealistic expectations and likely expectations that don't come from your own standard, maybe, or like they didn't just come out of nowhere. They're coming because you understood at some point in your life that this isn't how your body should look, or it isn't the attractive body people expect to see or want to see, or you want to see in yourself. So are these thoughts of unrealistic and sort of negative criticizing, and sometimes can be quite toxic, are these thoughts coming often to you? Is there a trigger point where these things are sort of propping up? And can you think of it a little different? Can you practice some compassion to those thoughts? Can you bring a little bit more awareness of where these thoughts are coming from, and maybe think of them differently? Because aging is 1000% a normal process. And the fact that your body is changing and aging is not something abnormal. It's not something anyone should be surprised about.
Mm-hmm. So trying to identify those patterns, especially if you can think of certain situations or maybe people, things you're exposed to that are triggering those thoughts, that could be helpful to try to identify the patterns. And then when you do have those negative thoughts, you know, trying to counter it, like this sounds really simple, but just trying to counter it with a positive thought about your body or yourself, even just, you know, something unrelated to your body. Just trying to counter it with a little bit of gratitude and positivity, just to bring like that opposite force, because it's not realistic to expect yourself never, you know, to have negative thoughts about your body or aging. But there is a way to try to identify it, bring more awareness to it, and move through it, move through that motion, that moment with a little bit more compassion for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, like we're relatively young, right? Like we might be ancient to a 12-year-old, but for a 65-year-old, we're like, oh, in their prime, you know? So I think I don't want to be naive in thinking that, you know, I'm just in the time where maybe my body is changing in a specific direction where people further along can say, well, it's easy for you to say that. But our whole point is here is to understand that our aging bodies are so normal, and strategies that utilize nutrition as a pseudoscience to counter that and to reinforce standards of beauty that are not realistic and pretty misogynistic in their nature. The root of that standard comes from a pretty dark place. I just want to speak to that as a nutrition professional. Just to say, like, strategies that utilize these things and hide behind nutrition are not real and should never be used to persuade you to buy a product to fix something that isn't right, isn't a real problem. Does that make sense? I feel like I said a whole bunch of words, but what I guess what I'm trying to say is nutrition is not something that can be sold to you to fix the problem of aging, because aging is normal. Nutrition mm-hmm. is a science base to help your body have the best tools to face everything that happens, including aging, but it's not there to fix the normal processes that our bodies go through. You know, the changes, the weight fluctuation, the wrinkles, the stretch marks. That is not a problem to be solved. Nutrition is there just to support you through that. And so as somebody who is constantly giving advice as far as nutrition, your changing body is just part of the equation where nutrition embraces that and then gets you through at the end of your life, right?
Right. More of a partner. No, I totally get what you're saying. And I think you're speaking to the essence of why you and I are having this episode, like as nutrition professionals. And we're not trying to reverse aging with nutrition. We're trying to support aging bodies right. with nutrition. And it's not
right.
It's not a problem that needs to be solved. It's just, it's using nutrition to partner with your body, your changing body, and just to best support ourselves.
Yeah. I think when we think of changing and aging, there's quite literally this process is quite literally occurring when there's a growing human inside another human. You have a fetus that's actually aging, right? And your body is changing with that growing human. Nutrition plays such a wonderful role in supporting that change and carrying that baby through its early stages of development to when it's now an independent human being out in the world. I wish we took nutrition to mean that in that same context, to mean the same as we age and not as something to fix a phantom issue. And I think, Kelly, you and I talk about weight loss being the phantom solution for so many things. It carries into our aging bodies as well. You know, like we stick weight loss to literally every aspect of aging when, you know, sometimes a little extra weight can be a wonderful help, mm-hmm. especially in the elderly population where if appetite changes, at least you have some cushion. So right. why can't we talk about that too? You know?
Right. Protective factor.
Right. So to wrap up, we just want to encourage, normalize the conversation regarding changing bodies and aging bodies. And we want to bring some context into how nutrition can be of a support to our changing and aging bodies and not some pseudoscience, weird, salesy thing that people resort to. So we have a new episode next week coming out that is really, we're really excited about. So tune in. All of our episodes come out on Wednesdays. So check it out. And please, if you like what we're sharing, rate our podcast, write a little comment, review it, subscribe, tell your friends. We would appreciate it so, so much. So thanks for listening so much. We love all our listeners and we are sending you a big dietitian hug.